Well, please have your Bible open in 2 Chronicles 26 as we look together at the good king ruined by pride. If you're looking for a few notes on the screen, there won't be any this evening. This is a really simple format to this message with three simple points. I'll tell you what they are as we go through. But King Uzziah was the good king ruined by pride. He's appointed at the age of 16 as the king of Judah. Judah is the southern kingdom after the nation of Israel has been divided into two. The northern kingdom retaining the name of Israel. The southern kingdom, much the smaller of the two, taking the name of Judah. The southern kingdom consisting mainly of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, Judah being the much larger of the two tribes. So they took the name of Judah. They remained in Jerusalem, with Jerusalem as their capital city. And both kingdoms had their own succession of kings. And Uzziah, or Azariah, as he's recorded in the book of the Kings, is the 10th king of Judah. He came to reign at the age of 16, and the year was, give or take a year, 790 BC, when he became the king. And I want to look first of all, just at the first five verses under this heading, piety and prosperity. Piety and prosperity. We have two particular things that are brought to our attention about King Uzziah. The first is that in verse 4 we're told he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now if you know anything about the kings, not just of Judah but of Israel as well, most of them have recorded against their names that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But here is a man of whom we are told he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. What a great thing for anyone to be able to say about any believer. What a wonderful thing for anyone to say even about you or I. It's worth thinking about just that phrase alone for a second. What might it be if at the end of our days someone could look back over our life and say of you and I, they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, of course, that will often mean that as other people look at us, they might actually be antagonistic about things we've done, things we've said, decisions we've made. But in the sight of the Lord, they did what was right. What a thing it might be if at the close of every day we could be examined. And someone could save us. Looking back just over those previous 18 hours of the day that we've been awake. Today, they've done what was right in the sight of the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be able to hear. What a challenge that is. But this is the king. And he began at the age of just 16. 16. Did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There's no age too young to begin. He had this great piety, doing what was right in God's eyes. He kept the pure worship of the true God, just as his father had done. In fact, better than his father has done, because his father had succumbed to the worship of idols, as so many of the other kings had done, but not Uzziah. We read that he sought God. He sought God. What a wonderful thing for the leader of a nation to be a man who seeks God. How we need people like that today. He sought God. And we're told that he did it in the days of Zechariah. Now, this Zechariah is not the Zechariah that we read of in the Minor Prophets. There's a book in the Bible later on, towards the end of the Old Testament, that has that same name attached to it. It's a different Zechariah. The Zechariah in the Minor Prophets, he was around several hundred years later. This is a different Zechariah. But we read of Zechariah that he was someone who had understanding in the visions of God, either visions that God himself gave to Zechariah or that he was giving to other people. But in other words, Zechariah was a prophet. He was someone who was able to understand the word of God. And when God spoke, Zechariah was able to understand its meaning. And he was alongside the king. And he was acting as a prophet to the king, helping him to understand what was right and what was wrong. So that's a great thing that this young king had. What a wonderful thing it is to have someone alongside you who can lead you aright in the things of God. That's what the king had. So Zechariah, he was a man well versed in prophecy. He was undoubtedly a man of prayer. He was a devout man and a good man. And so it would seem he had a great influence upon King Uzziah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. What a great epitaph. And alongside his piety, we see his prosperity. It's mentioned at the end of verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought God, as long as he kept God in view at all times, God made him prosper. Now we need to note that the only people who prosper are those who God makes to prosper. Scriptures tell us that it is God who makes the rich and the poor. And God made Uzziah to prosper. His prosperity was a gift from God. However, this is not given as a promise to everyone that seeks after God. That if you do, as Uzziah did, that you too will prosper. This is said specifically of Uzziah. Uzziah sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That's how God dealt with him in his day. Now, you'll find many believers today who will read a passage like that, and they will come to the conclusion that it's the right and obvious outcome for all who seek the Lord, that God will prosper them. If you're not prospering, it's a clear sign that you're not doing something right, they will say. Perhaps you're harboring some sin that you're refusing to get rid of, they will say. Your heart is not sincere towards God, they will say. And that's why you're not prospering. That's an absolutely scandalous thing to say. When Jesus promised his disciples only persecution and suffering. This is how God has dealt with Uzziah. That's not to say that we should never seek the Lord. But when we do, God will deal with each one of us as he sees fit. And some he makes poor, some he makes rich. We do, though, have a promise in the scriptures that righteousness exalts a nation. When an entire nation is led in the path of righteousness, as this king led Judah, when an entire nation is led in the ways of God, when it's governed by laws which correspond to the word of God, when it's governed by men who truly seek God and who themselves are born of God, then that nation will know God's blessing. That is a promise that the scriptures give. And so we're not surprised when we look around at the United Kingdom today, are we? We are a nation that is far from exalted because we are far from God. It's interesting, you know, prayers are still offered in Parliament today. But they're just a tradition. They're not actually seeking the Lord. But that's what marked out this king in Judah. And it's also interesting to note that actually Uzziah's prosperity was something which is spoken of in terms of his kingship. It's not so much that him personally that he has prospered in a personal way. It's not as if he's become very rich whilst all around him is still poverty and decay. That's what we see in lots of third world countries today. We see the people right at the top living in absolute luxury, and all around them is just dreadful. That's not how it was in Judah when this man was the king. It's in his role as the king over the nation that he prospered, and his prosperity benefited the entire nation. So in the following verses, from verse 6 through to verse 15, we have a list there of the ways in which the nation benefited from the prosperity of this king. So in verses 6 to 7, we see that God had granted them success on the battlefield against their enemies. You'll notice that one of the cities mentioned is Gath, where Goliath came from. In verse 8, you see that he had a good name as a king. He was a man of integrity. Integrity is something that seems to be sadly lacking in our politics today, but not in this man. He was very well thought of. We see in verses 9 and 10 that he built defences to keep the people safe from their enemies and those who opposed the worship of God. That was a very important and integral part of their defending themselves against enemies, because all of their other enemies worshipped idols and would have brought their idolatrous ways into Jerusalem. We also see in verse 10 that he dug wells to make sure that everyone and the livestock had a good supply of water. We also see that he maintained an organized and efficient system of agriculture to supply food. He had a large, strong, well-organized army. And whilst hurling arrows and throwing stones at people might sound pretty primitive to us today, he made sure that his army was kitted out with state-of-the-art weapons, employing the cutting-edge technology of his day. One of the great complaints against our own government in recent years with the Iraq war has been that they're not equipping the army properly and adequately to do their job. Well, that was a complaint that couldn't have been levied against this king. He gave his men the very best. He kitted them out with everything they needed to do the job. Now, these are all the basic things that any nation wants. Protection, water, food, a just king who deals well with his people. He was a good king, and God prospered him. But amazingly, it didn't last. Why not? Well, the second half of the chapter details for us the cause of Uzziah's downfall. So here's point number two. The king's downfall, a proud heart. Now, the kings of Judah, who are described as having done evil in the sight of the Lord, they were guilty of doing the most despicable things: murder, oppression, persecution, and especially idolatry. Actually bringing idolatry into the nation, encouraging God's people to worship idols. But we don't find Uzziah charged with any of these things, and yet he did transgress against the Lord his God. And he fell under a most profound mark of God's displeasure, an incurable disease. He became a leper. Uzziah's sin was to tread where it was not his place to go. He overstepped the mark. He invaded the office of the priesthood. He bypassed that which had been ordained by God. He took it upon himself to approach God in a manner of his own choosing, rather than be content and obedient to approach God in only the way that God had ordained as acceptable, through the priesthood. We cannot come to God any way we like. We must come through the channel that God himself provides. Some of you might think, well, what about that woman in Mark's Gospel the other week that we looked at? The one who broke that flask of expensive oil. Was she not reckless? But Jesus saw her heart and accepted her. Well, that's true. But even in her apparent recklessness, she didn't transgress God's law. But Uzziah, you see, he has brazenly ignored God's law. And he has transgressed it. Now, God does desire very, very much that we as sinners draw close to him. He desires that very much. He doesn't want anybody to perish. If you desire to draw near to God, then you may. And his arms are open to accept you. But there's only one door by which you may enter. There's only one way by which you may go in. There's only been one sacrifice that is able to cleanse you from all your sin. And that door, that way, that sacrifice is his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will come to him, if you will draw near to God through him, God's arms are wide open to accept you. Now, in Uzziah's day, the sins of his predecessors, all those who had gone before him, was to forsake the temple of the Lord and to turn to idolatry and to worship false gods. Uzziah's sin was to intrude into the temple of the Lord further than he was allowed to go, and attempted to burn incense on the altar, where only a priest may be. You see how easy it can be. In trying to avoid one extreme, we run into another. Very easy to do. We need to beware. And that which was at the bottom of his heart was the issue of pride. And it's a lust that ruins us more than any other. And God would bring him down and humble him. Now, when Uzziah looked around at how God had blessed him and how God had blessed his nation, his only response should have been to thank and praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. But instead, he started to feel rather pleased with himself, and he became rather presumptuous towards God. He began to suppose that certain things that God had prescribed for his people no longer applied to him. He'd managed to elevate himself in his own heart and in his own thinking to a new level of experience and familiarity with God. I don't need a priest to mediate with God on my behalf. I'll go myself. He won't refuse me. He should be rather pleased to see me. Pride was eating away at the heart of the king. Now, the Bible is frightening in its conclusions about pride. Let me just read you three verses from the book of Proverbs. The first is from chapter 8 and verse 13. Here is a description of God's attitude towards pride. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, puts all those three in the same box, and the perverse mouth, I hate. Well, that's pretty clear. And then in chapter 16 and verse 18 of Proverbs, the Lord goes on to say, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, if pride starts to take a hold of you, you can see where it's going to lead. Pride goes before destruction. A proud heart is only going to lead to one place. In Proverbs 29, verse 23, we read these words, A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. In other words, if you keep yourself humble before the Lord, you retain your honor. That would have been Uzziah's experience had he remained humble before his God. But if God has to come in and humble you, any honor that you had will be lost. They're pretty strong words. We need to take the warnings and the exhortations of the Word of God really seriously. Because these things came true in a man of whom it was said, he did right in the sight of the Lord. Even someone like that succumbed to a spirit of pride. We need to be so careful. And then the third and final point is Uzziah's punishment. He became an outcast and a leper. Very sadly, there's no sign at all in God's word that Uzziah repented of his sin. Now, he may have done. It's not recorded in the word of God. We don't know. But there's no sign that he did. And I want you to notice that he lived with the consequence of his sin for the rest of his days. He remained a leper. And as we know, leprosy actually progresses and gets worse and worse as time goes by. He would become an outcast amongst his own people. This man who walked and was right in the sight of the Lord, an outcast. And even in his death, whilst he was recognized as a king, he was buried in a separate place to the other kings because of his leprosy. His shame went with him to the grave. A man's pride will bring him low. Pride goes before destruction. We only have to look at the life of this man to see how true it is. It's a frightening lesson. Oh, people, we need to guard our hearts, you know. It doesn't make any difference at all how faithful you've been in the past or for how many years. It doesn't matter what past achievements can be ascribed to your endeavours for the Lord. It doesn't matter how great a name you've made for yourself. Guard your heart. And finally, as we close, in all of these accounts of the Old Testament kings, we are bound to find our minds turning to Christ. We are, if we truly spend time thinking about what we read here. With a man like King Uzziah, Christ stands out from him, not in the ways that he is like him, but how he is in contrast to him. Uzziah was a king, but he needed a prophet, Zechariah, a man to stand alongside him and help him in spiritual things, a man who would help him to understand the things of God. Here is a king in the scripture who needed a prophet alongside him. Jesus is our king, but he needs no other. Let me just read the opening verses of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. First few verses of the opening chapter. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is our King, but he needs no one to stand alongside him. He is the very Word of God. All wisdom is to be found in him, and in his word we need not turn to anyone else. Uzziah was a king, but he needed the priesthood to mediate with God for him, just like any other sinful man. And he received God's punishment when he thought he didn't. Still in Hebrews and in chapter 7, we read these words beginning at verse 23. There were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Chapter 8. Now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. Jesus is our King, but he's also our mediator with God. He is the one who puts us into touch again with God. He is the one who reconciles us again to God. He is the one through whom we again are able to walk and live in fellowship and communion with God. We draw near to God by him. We may approach the throne of God's grace by him. He's not only our King, he's our prophet, and he's our great high priest, and he lives forever. Uzziah was just a sinful man. He started out so well. Things were looking so promising. But he was a sinful man, and he would end up failing his people, and he would fail God. The Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you.